Well, we're in this series, Yours is the Kingdom, looking at the Lord's Prayer in depth and phrase by phrase. And we've come to the part where we start praying for our personal petitions or the ones that are more man-centered, human-centered. And we see this one today, give us our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And someone said this simple petition is profound in its teaching about God and implications for the Christian life. And each word has many things to teach us. And it's true. So much depth in all of the Lord's Prayer. And we know the focus has been on God's glory, right? His kingdom. But here with the fourth petition, Jesus begins to show us how we pray for our own needs. And of course, those around us as Christians. Albert Mohler said, the contrast with the depiction of God given earlier is striking. God is glorious and hallowed in heaven, all-powerful, and we're incapable of just getting our normal sustenance each day on our own without His help. And so someone said, with this prayer, Jesus moves from the clouds of heaven to the trials of our own dirty streets and dusty streets and dirty kitchens. You get that backwards, but there's a logic to the prayer, isn't there? We've been extolling God's name, praying for His kingdom and for His will. There's one main purpose of our Christian life. And now God turns the tables in a sense as we're focused on our own needs and other Christians' needs. But all of that and asking for His strength is to help us do His will. So it all ties together. Where God guides us in living for His glory, God provides for us and all that we need. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. And we see in this part of it, give us our daily bread, there's nothing wrong in prayer with us bringing our very needs of everything we can think of, the smallest thing. It's not unspiritual to pray for food or clothing or whatever we may need in order to live our lives for Christ in this world. So how do we better pray this part of it, give us our daily bread? Because remember, this is to be a pattern that affects all of our Christian living and our prayer life. Well, the number one thing we see here to start with is receive God's gifts with thanksgiving in prayer. This is about receiving the gifts that God gives us, everything, with thanksgiving. The first key to praying for our daily bread involves gratitude to God for everything we have. Because notice what He says, we pray, give us our daily bread. Everything is a gift we receive from God with thanksgiving. Ecclesiastes 3 says, go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what we do. All the little things in life, all those things, they come from God as a gift. To pray this prayer effectively, we must do it receiving things with thanksgiving. All, knowing everything is a gift from God. Because if we pray for, give us our daily bread, the most simple thing we could take for granted in this world, then how much more is it true that everything we need in this life comes as a gracious gift from God's hand? So someone said, the truth is everything we eat is a divine gift. Praying to God for our daily bread is a matter of fundamental honesty. God is the one who waters the earth, causes the crops to grow, the one who gives us life and strength to earn our bread and then to bake it. And so we're not to take anything for granted. Our daily bread, our necessities, they all come as gifts from God's gracious hand. The word give shows us, someone said, the most basic necessities of life are a gift from God Almighty to us as believers. So when we consistently pray this, you see, as a pattern in our prayers, give us our daily bread, we're being reminded of that. That's the point Jesus is making. Make this your pattern. Pray, give us our daily bread. We have grateful hearts more and more as we do that. Because you know, the Bible says, doesn't it, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and other places, to give thanks in all things. It doesn't say to give thanks for all things. But why are we thankful in all things, even the hardest things in life? Because when we're thankful to God, we're saying, God, we know You're in control and You will bless us. You'll take care of us. And whatever we're facing, You're going to meet our needs because You're a gracious God who gives us everything. Even our daily bread and the smallest things, they come as gifts we don't take for granted. So we give thanks in everything, because nothing we have in this life, not the roof over our head or the air we breathe, is something we've come up with on our own. It's a gift, isn't it? It's all a gift of God's grace. It's not something we've earned or come up with in our own ingenuity. R.C. Sproul said, we're to be alert, yes, in this prayer, not only for the needs we have for daily food and things, but to the reality that God has provided it. We have a grateful heart when we pray this as our pattern. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven. Harry Ironsides tells of being at this restaurant. He was about to eat. He was a pastor many years ago, and this man wanted to sit down with him. He said, okay, sure. And about that time, Dr. Ironsides bowed his head and he gave a word of thanks to God in prayer. And when he raised his head, the other man said, well, what's wrong? Are you okay? Do you have a headache? Everything okay? You bowed your head down and I thought there was something wrong. And he said, no, I was just giving thanks to God for the food before I ate. And the man said, oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, you know, I work hard and I do what I need to do. I don't have to give thanks. You know, I earn what I need. And so I don't give thanks to anyone, even God. And Harry Ironsides told him, oh, you're just like my animals back at home. You know, you just dig in. You just start. You know, we need to remember everything comes from God. It's like the hymn we sing many times. I need you every hour. We need Him. And we get three times a day, some of us more than that, to be reminded when we eat. Just that alone, that it comes from God, that we are dependent creatures on God for everything, aren't we? We depend on Him and we are grateful we receive it. God made us this way, someone said, so we would rely on His providence in all of our circumstances, His kindness, knowing that we are not masters of our own destiny. We regularly remember that everything comes from God to us as a gift. That's why we say grace at dinner time and when we eat. That's why we give thanks when we receive our offerings at worship. To know that everything, and be reminded every time we do it, God provides us with all that we have. We could even follow the example of the Swedes, apparently, who used to pray that and give thanks after they ate, apparently. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you've eaten and are satisfied, we read that earlier, praise the Lord your God. You see, one of the many dangers of affluence and money is that we lose sight of the fact that God has given us everything. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's a danger. The Bible is clear about it. We saw it there in Deuteronomy 8. Because the more you make, or the more successful you become, and the more you accomplish, you can, even as a Christian, become deceived into thinking that you're self-sufficient. That you've earned what you have and made yourself get to where you need to be. And you've used your ingenuity and your resources, and you forget the fact that God is the one who gave you intelligence and resources and money and ability to work and to do what you've done. And so praying consistently, give us our bread, reminds us God's giving us what we need and everything in life. We have thankful hearts then. The more we pray this and know we're receiving it all from God in His grace. That's the pattern of prayer that we have. And so we're asking God to bless us and help others with the essentials of life. But yes, first of all, to be reminded, He gives us everything out of grace. There was a movie, Shenandoah, years ago, where this wealthy farmer in a scene, he leads his family in a prayer. He says, Lord, we cleared the land. We plowed it. We harvested it. We wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be eating if we hadn't done it ourselves. We worked hard for every crumb. And then he said, but we thank you, Lord, just the same anyway for this food we're about to eat. Now, sometimes we can be like that, though, can't we, in our own lives? Like, God, thank you for giving me a little help in what I need to accomplish my work and for us to do what we need to do in the church or in our lives. No, God gives us all of it. It's all a gift from Him. And we can fall into that trap of thinking we've done it. We can grossly exaggerate our contribution and forget God. He's the source of everything. We've got to return to the source, and that's what we do as we pray this prayer. It keeps us grounded as we receive all the blessings of life. as gifts from Him. And we become more and more thankful people, joyful people who remember to give Him thanks in all things. And what that can do is help us overcome our tendency towards materialism. Sometimes we're not even aware of it, and greed, and focus on ourselves. When we learn to pray this, give us our bread, we're receiving it all. It helps us become less self-centered and more selfless and giving and generous. And not those who are possessed by their possessions, but able to use their things for God's glory. Don't we want to become more like this? Well, this prayer helps us to do that. Someone said it's not only the poor who need to pray for daily bread. In fact, the more we have, the more we need to pray this prayer, not less. Because that money can fool us, can't it? We can start to be deceived and think we've done it. We've got our security blanket and we're okay on our own. And we have a tendency when we have more, if we're not careful and don't give God gratitude, to trust in ourselves, to not depend on the Lord. Then we've got a big bank account or more money or credit cards or all these things that we see in our society, we tend to just say, I'll do what I want to do. We don't even really think about talking to God about it. We're not depending on Him. But this gives us a pattern in which we need to do that. This man named Woods, not Steve that we know, he said, material affluence is in no respect, lessens my need to rely on God, but it increases us it. Jesus warns, doesn't he? He said one time, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Why? Because money's bad in and of itself? No. But because wealth can make it hard for people to depend on God consistently. And we can fool ourselves and get into a trap with money and things. Derek Thomas, he said, if you are accustomed to getting everything you want, it's hard to develop spiritual attitudes of a servant-like heart that waits on Jesus to provide. Are we learning to wait on Him? Are we caught up in our things? They're like the character in The Lord of the Rings who said the ring was precious. You know, we look at those things as so precious to us. And we can be in a lot of danger, more sometimes, when we have a lot than if we have less. Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool. Remember that story? This man built big barns and had all this success in his farming, and he wanted to build bigger barns. And neither of those things were the problem. The problem was he lost his focus and connection on God. And all he could think about was filling up more barns, and never does he think, it seems, about God, being grateful to God. He doesn't seem to think about the needs of other people around him. No, he's focused on himself and all he's done and where he can go. And you know what Jesus said on that night? God called him a fool. He said, your life could be taken. Why? Because he wasn't rich towards God or others. And he lost sight of everything that his initial money, resources, wisdom, and planning, they all came, every single thing, as gifts from a gracious God to be used by him. You know, and when we get like that, you know, Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he did an experiment where he wasn't focused on God. And he found that in all of the money he could have and wisdom and everything in life and pleasure, it was all empty without God. And this is what happens. But what we have to do is learn to get up every day, get in the Word, set our focus on God, ask Him to help us see what He's doing and savor what He's given us, and seize the opportunities and use what He's given us for His glory, so that we don't get focused on those things and putting our hope in those things. Instead, we can use them, we can enjoy them, and we can see them all as coming from a gracious God. So we get up and put our focus on Him and see those things as coming from His gracious hand. And we learn to enjoy them and use them and depend on Him more and more, which is what this prayer, give us our daily bread, is really all about. And that leads me to number two. Not only receive all things with thanks, number two, reciprocate God's blessing to those that are around us. If you want to pray this prayer effectively, learn to reciprocate and use what God blesses us with to those around us. And this is the second key that we can overlook in praying this prayer that we see in that little word, us, or our. We've said, you know, you can't pray the Lord's Prayer, can you, without focusing on others. He's our Father. We pray for our bread. We'll see next week. Forgive us our sins. You can't do it except in the plural. So you look up as you pray this, receiving everything with thanks. But you look around as you pray this, saying, Lord, I'm asking you for bread to live my life, but it's our daily bread I'm asking for. So I'm meant to share. I'm meant to use what you've given me to help meet needs. That as I'm praying this, I want to be a part of the answer in helping people. So what can we do to help us? Number one, recognize we're all connected. Recognize we're all connected. Someone said, we may not personally know many of God's people around the world, but we are praying for them and they pray for us as we pray this prayer. We need to remember that. We are connected as the body of Christ. Yes, we pray in private. Jesus taught us that. But we never pray just for our own needs. We need to remember that. Even when we get to this point when the prayer is very practical and personal, it's never just about us. In fact, not even mostly about you and me. We're learning to trust God. We're seeing everything as a gracious gift from Him. We're trusting in Him and we're praying for our daily bread, recognizing we're all a part together of the body of Christ where God uses us to bless and help one another. Jesus teaches us to pray in the plural, someone said. I like what Reagan said. He said, this involves fellowship of love by which every Christian prays not only for himself, but all the members of God's family, and is willing to serve and share and prays for the necessities of life of other people as well. So praying give us our daily bread, that reminds us that all ground is level at the foot of the cross. You've heard that saying before? We all have come into grace in Christ the same way. In humility, and because God loves us and put His grace upon us. And we're all dependent, as beggars who know where to get the bread, on Him. And so we have this mindset and attitude when we're coming in humility and saying, give us our daily bread. We're saying, we've all come together the same way and we all need God's grace. So that gives me a different perspective on that other Christian. They are needy of God's grace as well. It gives me an affinity for them and a love for them to want to be used to help them. This prayer has to change us in that way, or we've misunderstood it. So how powerful it is, I've said before, you know, when you have finally one of your kids come up and ask and show concern about their sibling. You say, man, what a maturity that's there in that kid. Well, how much more does God want us to be that way when it comes to the family of God? This ought to be our pattern in prayer, to look around, not only thinking about our own needs, but the practical needs of other believers especially, lifting them to God, because we know God hears those prayers, but also because we know it shows maturity. We're growing to trust the Lord, because flowing out of that sense of receiving everything, even our very bread and sustenance as a gift of grace, that gives us an assurance, doesn't it? That gives us a freedom to focus, not on ourselves, but more and more on others as we pray our daily bread. Looking around, remembering we're in the body of Christ as His fellowship and community. You know, this idea of bread in some sense is a metaphor for the church. It said in the book of Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread. And to prayer. That was a symbol, that breaking of bread, I believe, of fellowship, for one thing. And in the Old Testament, people brought fellowship offerings, and a part of that was they would bring unleavened bread, a basket of bread. God's saying, we're connected together. Man doesn't live on bread alone, Jesus said, but every word from God's mouth. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We're united together, and we come together, we're praying, give us our bread. We're united as His people, and every time we pray this, it ought to remind us of that. We're ultimately dependent on our Father, but God has designed it to where we are interdependent together. And He uses us to love one another and minister to one another and other Christians as we look to Him and grow in Him. And He puts us together with different gifts and abilities and resources that we can use. And we all need what each other has. Someone said this idea of bread teaches us about that, because it takes a community to produce a loaf of bread. Just a simple loaf of bread. As one plows the field and one plants the seed and others harvest the grain. You know, we've been talking during this time of COVID about essential workers. You know, who are the essential workers? And God says in His church and His way He works, we're all essential because He uses us. He works through us. He calls us to do different things. And we're acknowledging our dependence on Him, but also how we're connected together to serve and love one another. Second thing with this is then reach out in love and blessing to those around us that God's called us to love. We not only realize the connection with Christians together, but then we reach out and we use what God's given us. Galatians 6 says to do good, especially to those who are in the household of God. Are we growing in this? We're committing ourselves to share what God gives us when we pray, give us our daily bread. We're saying, God, I know You've blessed me. I'm dependent on Your grace. And I'm praying, give us our bread. I'm willing to be a part of the answer. Help me to serve. Help me to use what You've given me as a part of that. You can't really sincerely pray this and not be looking and growing to use what He blesses you with. Because you know what? When we are used by God to meet other needs, He always takes care of our needs. I could show you all kinds of verses on that. It's all through the Bible. And what God gives us as Christians, He wants to give through us. He wants to use us as channels of His blessing. He blesses us to be a blessing. Think about Abraham. James 2, it says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or food, and you say to him, well, just go well, do well. I'll pray for you, you know. Keep warm and well fed. But you don't do anything. He said, faith without works, like that, it's dead. So we have to be changing and growing, because this is about a spiritual idea here. It's not just physical bread. We're talking about spiritual growth. God looks at our hearts to see where we are. Are we trusting in Him? Are we growing to become like Him? God wants us to become more generous and gracious like Him as we pray this prayer. So we need to remember that. Are we looking around to see where the needs are and how God can use us? And that leads me to number three. Not only receive everything as a gift with thanks, reciprocate those blessings God gives us, but number three, this prayer, we're going to pray it effectively, our daily bread, pray for that. We've got to refocus on right now. Refocus on right now. To pray, give us our daily bread, we're looking up. We're dependent on God. We're thankful. We're looking around, reciprocating His love, reaching out, recognizing our connection. But we're also looking at today as we pray this. It means we're refocusing as we receive, reciprocate. We refocus on right now. Because notice in this prayer, we don't pray, Jesus says, give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread. He says our daily bread today. As we grow in gratitude and serve and enjoy the Lord and use what He gives us, we've got to learn to trust Him moment by moment. Not getting too caught up in the things of the future and wondering how all these things will work out. Because the danger is that we get anxious and wonder what will happen tomorrow and how God could use us for what we need to do as a church or as Christians in the future. And worry is a sin just as much as any other sin, isn't it? Because ultimately we're saying, God, are Your promises really true when we worry? You really care for us? You're really going to do what You said in Your Word? It's an insult ultimately that we all struggle with it. See, this is the word focused on here, today. Give us today, or our daily bread. The bread we ask for, one man said, for God to give us is for today. Proverbs 30, I love this passage. It says, two things I request of You, Lord. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food allotted to me, my daily bread. Lest I be full and deny You and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. See, this is what we're praying for in this prayer for ourselves and others. Give us today our daily bread. That God will give us what we need, especially at this moment, in this time, learning to depend on Him day by day, moment by moment, enjoying what He's given us, using it, serving, sharing His love. Now, Bible scholars, they struggle with the meaning of this word in Greek, today or daily, epision, because it appears only here in the New Testament this one time. I mean, does it mean essential or sufficient? You know, that's the idea, what we have to have, the basics. You know, I think we'll look at that in a moment with bread. But is it like parents who are saying, you know, kids, we only have to really give you a shelter and food and shoes and clothing. We're not giving you anything else. You know, is it that idea? I don't think so here. Does it mean immediately following? We're praying for today's bread, but then also give me tomorrow's bread. D.A. Carson thinks it's that. Give us today our bread for the coming day. You know, prayers in the Old Testament were often done at night and the morning. In the a.m., we pray for what we need the day of. In the p.m., we pray for God's provision for the coming day. You know, in those days, bread and food didn't have expiration dates on it like today. You had to eat the bread that day. It would go bad so quickly. You understood the idea of daily bread. Today we can put it all in our freezer and keep it until later on. But that was a pointless thing in those days. The point is, it's not so much about physical bread, but what is our attitude toward what everything that God gives us? This is a prayer that fosters our dependence to live a day at a time, keeping short accounts with God. Proverbs 27:1 says, we're not to boast about tomorrow because we don't know what that day will bring. The point is, it's daily bread. Things that pertain to everyday life. And we learn to trust God for today's needs. Not get caught up in all the things of tomorrow. Like this cleaning lady, she said to one of her customers, the trouble with life is that it's so daily. It's so daily. And, you know, but the thing is, think about it. If we had to carry out all the things we need to do for the next few months, all in a day, you know, and make all of our decisions for the next 6 months, today or tomorrow, we'd be overwhelmed, wouldn't we? But God has designed it in a way where we learn to focus on Him and trust Him day by day. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, Matthew 6, for tomorrow will worry about itself. God often gives us more than we need, but many times His care is day of. What we need just for that day. R.C. Sproul tells about when he lived in Holland when he was young, and he was working on his doctorate, and he said his little three-year-old, the first sentence she learned wasn't one related to lollies or candy like you'd think, but it was, good morning, Mr. Baker, a half a loaf of bread, please. And she mastered it because every day in Holland at that time, you had to get the bread daily, essentially. The preservatives in certain breads weren't there, but it was really good, but you had to learn to do that. And Jesus' point in having us pray this is in part to learn to live like a child with childlike faith, trusting in Him to care for us every day. We don't have to be like the birds of the air who don't plan. God tells us we can make plans, but we're not to worry. We're to trust God day by day, praying, give us today our bread. Remember the Jews in the wilderness in the Old Testament? God gave them manna from heaven. But it was in a way in which they had to get it every single day. They couldn't store it up except on before the Sabbath, right? They could do it for the Sabbath. But manna could only be eaten that day because it would spoil. God made it that way. We saw that in Deuteronomy 8. They had to learn to trust God moment by moment and realize He was the one taking care of their every need. And it tells us actually in Exodus 16 that whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack, because God provided exactly what all of His children needed. And folks, this is true for our lives. We were talking about God's will last week, you know, in that sermon. God often only gives us just enough light for the next step. We have to learn to enjoy Him in the moment we're in, the daily time we're in, and serve Him, whether as a church or an individual, whether dealing with finances or our future or anything else. We have to learn to look to the one we love and put our focus there, not on all of the things we want to try to figure out. You know, we always say we don't know what the future holds. But the question is, do we know who holds the future? Are we growing to know Him and trust that one, God, as we pray, give us our daily bread? We'd like to, you know, the Lord to give us spiritual manna in lump sums, you know, that security blanket we can rest in. But God doesn't do it that way often. Yes, God blesses us with more than we ever deserve. But we have to learn that He's in control, whether it's good times or bad times. Paul said, I've learned to be content in plenty and in want. It's like this little boy in the story I read. He was going around with his dad, this little 3-4-year-old boy, and he was in the kind of shallow we're in. His dad's carrying him, and then they get into the deep end, and the boy's starting to really get anxious. But the fact was, if he really understood, he'd know that whether he was in the shallow or the deep end, he was in his father's arms. Whether he dropped in the shallows or whether he fell in the deep end, his dad was going to get him. He'd be in trouble without his father, no matter what. This is why we pray, give us our daily bread, because we might have closets full of clothes and pantries full of food and bank accounts full of money, but we're dependent on God for everything. Everything. We need to understand that. Proverbs 30 tells us of that dual danger we can fall into. If we don't keep focused on right now and what God's doing, we'll either deny God, thinking we're in control, missing what God wants to show us in those times, or we'll doubt God. We can even fall into sin. We've got to ask God to give us what we need and learn to trust Him. It's not too much or too little, but just what we need to serve Him. Jesus is teaching us as we pray this prayer to see ourselves the way we should in relationship to the Father. He said one time, you've got to change and become like little children, or you can't enter the kingdom. Are you walking with God like a child? You know, a baby is totally dependent on their parent for everything. But you know, we think sometimes as we get older, we lose sight of that, don't we? But we're just the same way with God. We're dependent on Him for every single thing. If He withdrew nourishment in our lives, we couldn't exist. Think about a TV or something that's plugged into the wall. If you unplug that cord, then it's not like as soon as you unplug it, the things are on the screen and they start to gradually go away. The characters you see. No. The moment you unplug it, the picture's gone. Why? Because that TV has no electricity and power on its own. It projects images by a constant connection to the electrical feed. We're connected to God. He's our source of power, and there's no hope outside of Him. And so we've got to rest in His provision. And that's this last part here of bread. Bread is a staple in any culture. And that's the idea that Jesus really gets at here, is to know that God provides all of the things we need in life. And we're to learn to come to Him in humble dependence, asking Him to sustain us from day to day. And we're not praying for our greeds, but for our needs. To rest in His provision. In fact, in the Greek, the word bread comes first here. It literally says, our bread for the coming day, give us today. That's how it says in the original language. You know, after wars, relief agencies would often come and help children in orphanages because they were anxious. Even though they were being fed, they worried about what they would get for the next days or weeks. And they would actually put bread, it said in history, in their hands to comfort them about what was coming. God wants us to learn to trust Him for all that we need. He doesn't promise to give us everything we want, but to give us all that we need and to learn to be content in Him ultimately. Are we growing in that? Are we resting in Him for all that we need? We don't pray for dessert, we pray for bread. And we learn to trust in this God who's behind it all and walk with Him one step at a time. We need to learn those essentials and rest in this great God. He says, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches in Jesus Christ. But do we trust Him? Are we growing to rest in Him for what we need? You know, this ultimately has to point us as we close to what Jesus came to do, right? He said, I'm the bread of life. No man who comes to me and trusts in me will go hungry. See, we ultimately need spiritual life, spiritual bread. The point in praying this prayer in an ultimate sense is that we learn to look to Christ as that bread of life, that He alone can give us what we need to be nourished spiritually. And we have to feed on Him like a hungry man who needs bread to live and survive. We need to look at Jesus that way. See, God designs physical needs many times to point us to our deeper spiritual need. And we saw that in the Deuteronomy passage we read, if you were paying attention. He gives us those things to teach us that our ultimate need is Him. He'll let us have difficult times at times to learn to trust Him and look to Him. But the point is, we grow to trust Him. We learn to have contentment in Him and feed upon Christ. See, our problem is we tend to get focused on our wants, don't we? And we lose sight of the fact we need to trust God for our needs and know He's taking care of us and grow to focus on Him, find our joy in Him. We then want to then talk about all of our wants and pray to God for our wants, and then that actually feeds our discontent. Do we realize that? But godliness with contentment is of great gain. Are we learning to realize He alone, God and Christ, can give us true contentment? Are we resting in Him? Let's turn to Him now as we pray.